guess where we're going to next.
Okay, so in the relationship, there's sort of three different phases. Mm-hmm. So they idolize you in the beginning. Then once they have you, once the idolization has worked, when you're on the hook, then they start to devalue you, bring you down, say all these hurtful things. But then, of course, what do they remind you of? The idolization. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the cognitive dissonance comes in. And then they keep that up. The cognitive dissonance kind of, like, I wouldn't say it goes away, but it dwindles because their side starts to make a little bit more sense, because what are they doing the whole time? They're isolating you. Mm-hmm. They're making you be by yourself all the time. And if by yourself, I mean with them, because the second you get any second of me time or alone time with your friends, then that means that you're probably talking about them.
And you're pulling away from them.
You're
in
pulling
their mind.
Away.
Right.
Right. And so you can't do that, because then they're going to talk some sense into you and then you're going to pull away from me. Mm-hmm. So that's not good. So anyway, that's all in the middle phase of devaluing you, isolating you, making you think that your thoughts are invalid and not real. Their thoughts are everything, and that's what you should think too. Mm-hmm. And then once you have gone through the devalue phase, and that phase is complete, to, okay, well, now I have devalued you to 0.0, and you're no longer worth anything. You have nothing for me to feed off of you anymore. Mm-hmm. You're basically unattractive to me.
Yeah, your supply is gone.
Yeah, you're literally just skull and bones in the closet, shivering in the cold, and ew, gross, who would want to fuck that? So I'm going to discard you and go to this other hot little thing that's super confident and awesome and is making a whole bunch of money, and now I can feed off her or
and get
him.
All my supply from that person.
And so it starts all over again. Mm-hmm. Should we go to the next term?
that was a very good description of that one.
I mean, that was literally what Jack did besides discarding.
Yeah, just like we talked about. Like, it's very much a cycle. Like, you're the best person in the world. But then, when you get too full of yourself or you're feeling too good, they devalue you a little bit.
Yeah, they are.
To make you, like,
always.
Hey, I'm going to bring you back down to earth. Like, you're good, but I'm going to bring you back down. Then all of a sudden, I'm going to be like, not want you anymore. Bye. Like, you feel like the biggest piece of shit in the world. But then what? They come back around, they scoop you up, and they idolize you again. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's easier for them to idolize you because you feel like such a piece of shit, like they put you down so bad that their level of idealizing shrinks.
Well, they can
literally
say,
do less.
Your hair looks so good today.
Right.
And like literally you're on cloud fucking
correct.
Nine.
And so it goes like the levels, if we had like a bar chart that we could show you, it's like the levels decrease every round of this that they do until basically you're literally living at the bare minimum at every single level. The idealizing you, devaluing you, and then discarding you,
they're
all the same.
The
idolizing and discard are as one at that point.
Yeah.
And it's like you are still stuck in this cycle without realizing how good you were, genuinely.
It all goes back to, am I ever going to be enough? No. You're not. Because they're going to constantly devalue and discredit everything that you're saying, and nothing that you do or that you say or anything matters. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to dwindle down to nothing, and then you're no good for them anymore.
And your worth is based upon what they think at that point.
So you're enough is when they meet you for the very first time. That is when you're enough. Anything else? Nope.
And that's the first and last time you'll ever be enough.
Yep. In your eyes and in theirs. And that is a sad, sad thing to think about, because you're like, no one can ever make me lose my confidence, make me lose my self-esteem. No one can ever tell me what to think. Okay, sure.
And it's a hard thing to swallow, for sure. Like, once you actually sit back, not with your friends, not with anybody, but like, you sit back by yourself for one single night and you're like, holy shit. Like, this guy that, like, literally for years, let's say years, you were with him, went through these cycles all the time. You finally, like, take a step back, sit there, and you're like, wow, everything I've read and listened to, this is it. Like, I want to keep telling myself right now, he's not like that. He's different. He loves me. He respects me. Like, you have that little gut feeling that he is exactly what you've been reading about, and he doesn't value you, and he doesn't respect you, and he's not going to. And that sucks. That is like the hardest realization that you're probably ever going to have to swallow in your life.
Is that he does not care.
He doesn't respect you at all. And he probably will move on quicker than you're ever going to imagine that he will. And you're going to sit there and think about everything because you are in a very different headspace than he
ever was.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It's awful.
It's awful.
Like, there's literally... I wish we could say something that was like,
nothing.
You will feel better.
Nope.
Like, you should go to the gym, put on some fake tan, get some eyelashes, get some hair extensions, do whatever you need to do. Go on a shopping spree and get the best outfit you can find. It is still going to suck just as bad as somebody who's not doing any of that. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But you've got to get through it. And like, once you get through it, and like we were talking about, it is... to some extent with me, like, helpful while you're going through this, get online, like, start reading stuff, start Googling random questions and see what other people have said. Like, that is helpful to a certain extent. It's a lot better than laying in bed.
It's clarity. And I think that that goes a very long way. Especially when you're in a place where there is no clarity. You like you said, you have so many questions. You don't know why. It's the one thing that is telling you factual information. It's not just like a subjective opinion from friends, from family members, from anybody. It's something that is something that can't be dismissed.
And it's people like worldwide feeling what you feel. Like, you're not alone in this. It's something that you don't think anybody understands what you're going through. That might be exactly the case within your family, friend group, anybody you know. But once you start actually diving into it and like looking up stuff, like, you're gonna realize that people all over the world have felt this, and you're able to kind of like see how they've dealt with it.
So another term is called future faking. So this is calling out a narcissist as a pathological liar is not as important as pinpointing the type of lying that he does that really cuts us to the core, i.e. future faking. By this, the narcissist talks about or hints at a future together to get what they want from us right now. Their innate ability to future fake is probably the narcissist's most effective tactic for managing down our expectations and the biggest reason for why we stay in a relationship that is obviously so bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the depth and breadth of the lie that we become tethered to because it speaks to our heart's desires.
Yep.
To what we've wanted all along.
Mm-hmm.
I say that in a very, like, creepy way.
Because it is creepy. Because I think this one is definitely the worst one. Because I think a lot of narcissists latch on to people who are very empathetic, genuine, have pure intentions, know what they want for their future, and they're able to cling on to that and give you a fake persona of themselves and what they're about to give you for indefinitely, the rest of your life. They want to marry you. They want to give you children. They want to be this power couple. They want to, everything that you wanted, whether maybe you wanted to be a zoologist and live in a garbage truck in New Zealand. Okay? No, really.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to do? Well, I will take you to New Zealand because I have a friend there. And then I support your dream of being a zoologist because I was a
marine biologist.
Correct, in San Diego. And I would love to travel with you. And also, my uncle made garbage trucks and I know how to drive them.
Perfect. We fit together like a puzzle.
Let's go. And you're like, whoa, this is very weird.
That just came together really quickly.
That this man knows everything I ever wanted. And he can give it to me because he has the knowledge, the power, the association. I mean, he has everything that I want to be this dream, this family, this person, this whatever I want, he has.
Right.
When you really start digging into it, he has never even wanted to go out of the country.
I don't think he even has an uncle.
He doesn't have an uncle. He doesn't even recycle. And he's never seen the ocean. So it's like, do they study? Do they just like tell you what you want to hear and you believe it because they're, why would you not? Because you're genuine. Why would somebody do this to you and be so ingenuine that they would create some fake life for no reason? That doesn't make sense. Why would they do that? You wouldn't even think twice about it. And then on his side, it's like, okay, well, let's look into New Zealand. Let's look into everything that she wants.
Yeah, let's buy plane tickets. Let's visit. Let's scope it out.
Come on, let's go.
We're going to New Zealand, baby.
Future faking. is honestly probably 1,000 times worse than love bombing. Because I believe you and I want that and you sound perfect and let's freaking do it. Well, you also might as well just toss me off the freaking cliff in New Zealand and send me on my way.
It also really, really sucks because when do you have these conversations? On your first couple dates. Like mm-hmm. If you're in the mindset of you're not dating to just fuck around, you're dating to find a future partner.
Right.
Like, I don't know about anybody, but if I am in a relationship, I see a future with that person. That is why I'm in the relationship.
Right.
I would not start this if I didn't see that to begin with. So you ask the necessary questions in order to know if you're on the right page, mm-hmm. like early on, if like that's what you guys want to do together. So it's like for these type of people, they find out everything fairly quickly. Like they find out your dreams and aspirations. Cause what is like one of the most popular questions? Hey, what's your 5-year plan?
Oh, they know before you tell them.
Hey, like what are your goals in life? Like, what do you, all of these things. Mm-hmm. The one question that I will never, ever get out of my brain for like the first couple times that we started hanging out, but like this doesn't have anything to do with future faking. He asked me, what are your insecurities? Who the fuck asks you that? Unless they want to take advantage of them.
Yeah. I've never got that question.
No, because it's not normal to get that question.
Well, how do you respond?
I responded with my insecurities.
You told him?
I thought he was normal. I was like, well, this is weird. Maybe he wants me to feel better about them. So that's why he wants to know them. Right. So he could like...
comfort you.
Yeah, comfort me. Say, mm-hmm. I think that makes you beautiful. Or right. like whatever it may be.
Shouldn't be an insecurity.
I literally paused and stared at him for a very long time before I said anything. Because I'm just like, I don't even know... like, I don't even know what this is. I don't even know how to process this question or to give you an answer.
Right. Interesting.
Odd.
I will say my experience with this was very much, he asked me very in-depth questions about my childhood, what I wanted for my future. Not like us together, but it was like, what do you want? Where do you see yourself? How did you grow up? How are your parents? How is your family? What do you love? Where do you want to be? And then mine would come up in conversation throughout the weeks. And it would just all of a sudden be like, oh, well, I grew up on a farm. My dad's a farmer. That's my favorite thing in the world. I love that. I wish I could, in like the non-creepiest way of all time, marry my dad. Like, I think he is the most amazing, incredible man of all time, right? What did he do? He'd be like, well, you know, my whole life I've wanted to be a farmer. And honestly, like I grew up with like horses and cattle and like I know how to drive a tractor. And in my mind, like right off the bat, I wasn't even tricked about it. Right off the bat, I was like, no, you don't. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it made me look at him like your child. Like, it literally took him from 100% to like 70. Literally fit him being like, well, I know how to ride a horse. I'm like, you would get bucked off a horse in 2 seconds and probably get trampled on the head and somebody would have to come save you. Right.
Like you'd die.
Do you know how to buck a bail? Probably not.
The wedding planner all over again. You have to save his ass.
Right. And so it was like little things like that where it was like, I knew that he was picking up on what I was saying to try to use it against me, but I was aware of it while he did it.
Impressive.
I don't know if it's impressive or if it's like...
No, it's impressive because I feel like, I mean, help me, I've been like, well, that's cool. Awesome. I'm glad.
I literally was like, I'm like, oh, you want to come back and steal my farm?
That's what you were territorial. That's
literally what I thought about. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about at all. You literally are, whatever I say, like a week and a half later, you say something that had my terminology in it, whether it was like, I don't know, the word combine. You're gonna use this 2 weeks later and say it to me. And I'm like, okay, you would come home and get ran over and chopped up and eaten and thrown into a truck. By a combine. Like you think I'm an idiot? I don't know. That for me was like a very weird, like he was trying to do the whole future faking thing with me, like
to the max. So much so that you didn't fall for it. Like that's how.
Oh no. And it went on for a while. And I just, every time he'd say something, I'd be like, and then remember when Yellowstone came out?
Yeah.
Which is like the best show of all time. Love it.
I need to watch that. Oh. Isn't it on?
Die.
Is it
Paramount? But I think they have it. You can buy them on Amazon Prime now.
How did you watch them?
I was in Idaho and we watched it on Paramount, like on the actual TV.
Okay.
But you can get it on Amazon. It is the best show.
But it's worth the money?
Oh, 1,000,000,000%.
All right, maybe I'll just have to do it.
For sure.
I'll just have to do it.
And
because that's why, because I saw it, because somebody else said something to me about Yellowstone. I'm thinking, put it on the list. And
oh, I would put that number one of all time. All right. For sure. But there's a guy on there named Rip, as you will see, which everybody loves, and he's literally the dream person you could ever imagine for a husband in your entire world. And that is what he played into. Like, we watched it and he was just like, oh my gosh, like, we could have this. Like, I will be your Rip. I will be everything. Like, I will take over. I will do anything I can do for you. Like, you know, I treat you like this. Like, we need to get out of the city. And it was literally like playing on to like what we're watching, yeah. What I've told you. Like, it's just mind blowing.
Yeah.
Mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Rip.
I know, I just need to watch the show.
Please send watch me my show own so Rip. I can daydream please like send me him. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault
at all. Absolutely not.